In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. So there once was a girl who had a little curl right in the center of her forehead. And when she was good, she was very, very good. And when she was bad, she was horrid. Yes. So, easy peasy here. Once you grasp that rhyme, little child's rhyme, you've grasped the character of David as presented in the scriptures of this morning and then following. 1 and 2 Samuel tell us about the life and the character and the times of David. And when he was good, he was really, really good. And when he was bad, he was horrid. And we shall see that playing out. And in constructing the story that we encounter with David in the Bible, the author is trying to take us from when things were really, really good, when they were splendid, when the country was united, when God, in the form of the Ark of the Covenant, came to reside in Jerusalem, everything was just marvelous. How did things go from that, when things were really, really great, and how did things decline and descend and fall apart over time, such that God's promise and fidelity to the house of David, God promised his kingdom would not have an end. The time wouldn't come when a descendant of David wasn't there ruling over Israel. How did things go from that to the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians, the complete destruction, eradication of a city, so that you could walk by it and not even know a city existed there? And yeah, David had no descendants. How did it happen? But that's the story that's going to be told, and it will unfold, and you will see that the Bible writer's answer seems to be in something called a fatal flaw. You find it in Greek tragedy, too. The hero has some sort of fatal flaw, and it causes things to begin to unravel and fall apart. Now, there's another big change in this book in the Bible, which is this. When God used to refer to his son, he used to talk about the whole nation. You know, when the people were slaves in Egypt, he would say, out of Egypt have I called my son. And God is calling his whole people, all 12 tribes. Israel, in totality, is the son of God. Once they get a king, that changes. They take a human and interpose that human between God and the people. So now fidelity to God and fidelity to the faith is tantamount to political loyalty. The nation has hitched its wagon, if you will, to a single person. And so the good of that person is manifold and manifest, and it radiates out. But the bad in that person also does. This kind of concept of fatal flaw. And upon that, the whole nation's fate ultimately is going to depend. And you're going to see that unfold. When he was good, he was very, very good. And when he was bad, he was horrid. And when he was horrid, God reserved the right to punish him. Not with a rod, but a rod in the form of foreign armies to march upon the land and take away the people's freedom. So that's what that whole reading is all about. Things are really, really good this morning. Really, really good. Except for Michal, the daughter of Saul. She despised him in her heart. And as it turns out, short story here, David despised her back. So he kept her in isolation. So the Sauls would have no descendants ever show up in the house of David. Saul's time is over. Which brings us to maybe a message we can take home this morning. Saul started out great. He was God's choice for king. But God changed his mind. Saul had a couple of incidents of disobedience. God changed his mind. Saul's not the guy. For David to begin, Saul had to end. Saul will have no descendants. David keeps Michael in isolation. She bears no children. And the Bible makes note of that story. The same type of thing happens in the gospel. Jesus' ministry is beginning to unfold. It's beginning to blossom. It's beginning to break forth in the world. And so for that to happen, the ministry of John has to come to an end. Before something new can break open and burst forth, something old has to end. Something old has to end. Take-home message for us is very apparent. In my work over the years as a therapist and as a counselor, I came to appreciate the iron grip of the past and what that is such a controlling aspect of some people's lives in the present. And if the past is controlling your now, it's going to control your next. You cannot embrace a new life if you're hanging on to something in the past. Last week, Deacon David was talking about, you know, when you leave the village and you stamp off the dust from your shoes and you march on. And he applied that to us, and it caused me to be thinking during the week of how consistent that is from a mental health standpoint. How the iron grip of the past controls people in their present. And so it radiates and it controls them in the future. You can't embrace something new if you're hanging on to something that's old. Whether it be a moment of unforgiveness, a moment of personal pain, you can't embrace the new, the future, unless you can pry apart the grip of that past. And that's very powerful. It's very hard to do. But it's very transparent in the gospel. The new stuff can't begin unless we're willing to take the best of what came to us in the past and let go of the rest. And embrace and live into this amazing future of grace and new life in Christ Jesus. And that's the take-home message. What goes on to refers to David. When he was good, he was very, very good. When he was bad, he was horrid. Same thing can apply to us. So letting go of that iron grip and some of that horrid stuff enables us to march forward, trusting in the grace and mercy of God. Amen.